Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Welcome back to the PowerCast. This week we've got a really fascinating, interesting direction for the show. Unlike a lot of other shows where they just interview the standard guests or write books or give lectures, occasionally we find a worthy person, and there are a lot of them, in our forums at forum.thepowercast.com. Very knowledgeable people participate there, and occasionally we find one or two to bring on a show. You're like, Gogs McKay comes on occasionally, and we met him through the forums, and he's always been a great addition. We've had other forum members, and we'll tell you about this one a little bit later. In any case, so I know that our session with David Marler on triangular UFOs has sparked all sorts of discussions. Unfortunately, not all those discussions have been necessarily just back and forth about what he said. Some people kind of got out of shape over it. But it's interesting how many different directions that discussion has taken, Chris.
Yeah, well, someone like David Marler, who is one of our kind of unsung hero researchers digging away in the trenches, has stated some absolutes that people, were taking exception to, and that's understandable. I think in this realm, nothing is absolute. There's no one-size-fits-all answer for any of these mysteries, and you really have to be careful how you couch your particular conclusions, because there's always going to be probably more people that will take exception to that conclusion than there are people that will, support your particular point of view. So, that's what makes this particular Paracast forum so healthy, invigorating, and intellectually stimulating. I really, I've been enjoying the back and forth on his appearance, on all our guests' appearance. I think generally we have some very insightful posters, and today we have one of our most insightful posters. One of my favorite forum participants is going to be with us today, and we'll ask him about how he responded to David Marler's appearance and other guests that we've had, including Greg Bishop.
Now, the one thing, of course, about triangular UFOs is that, unlike lights in the sky, we're talking about objects in the sky with a distinctive shape. And that leads one to think of something that it's real, it's solid, it's an actual aircraft. That's the one thing. The second thing is the concerns over whether maybe some level of those reports, maybe beginning in the 80s, could have represented test aircraft of some sort, as separated from a lot of other cases, which are obviously not ours, unless we were flying things around in the early 20th century or something, or even before. But that's one thing that is interesting. Chris, what's your take about the possibility that we have some ringers there, maybe test aircraft?
I think that there's a very strong possibility that, the defense industrial complex has devised lighter-than-air platforms that could be quite substantial in terms of their size. I don't think that these types of craft, which are stealth craft basically, are, obviously going to be darting off at impossible speeds, making right angle turns, the types of maneuvers that some sightings of what appear to be triangular craft have been reported making. So I think, even though there is that real strong possibility that we do have lighter than air stealth platforms, I don't think that they come close to explaining away all the events that have been reported, including some of the Belgian sightings. The Phoenix Lights could possibly have been something like that, although the size would kind of dissuade me from thinking that we have anything that's a mile in size. I mean, if we do, it'd be really tough to even test something like that, let alone whip it out and fly it over, you know, the two largest cities in Arizona, the fifth largest city in North America. So, you know, it's that's why his book is so good, because he goes into a lot of nuances about how these craft are described. The Hudson Valley sightings in the 80s, I think, is a real good example of possibly multiple types of craft with that triangular configuration that were spotted by many hundreds, if not thousands, of witnesses.
Of course, we have to remember that we exclude, in talking about the Hudson Valley sightings, one of the authors of Night Siege, for obvious reasons. But since there were two worthy authors in that book, a lot of it has to be taken seriously.
Plus, I lived there when this was going on, and I remember a friend of mine's father was driving down the Taconic Parkway and saw one of these objects and mentioned it to the family. And, of course, I would see newspaper reports about these craft a number of times. Some college buddies and girlfriends and stuff, and I went up to Untermyer Park up in Yonkers with a commanding view of the Hudson River there from the cliffs. And because there had been sightings reported in the area the night before, we thought maybe we would get lucky and get a repeat performance. Somebody even suggested, if I remember correctly, drawing one of those signs like in Close Encounters that said stop and be friendly. But, you know, we ended up just kind of getting bored and going off and doing something else. So I was not, like, I can't count myself among the many witnesses that had experiences during that time period there. But there was something flying around there. There's no question about it. There was too many people were spotting it, too many law enforcement officials. There were some radar reports. The reports that I found most compelling were the reports that seemed to center around the Indian Point nuclear plant, which is north of New York City, right on the Hudson. And the third author of the Night Siege book, Phil Imbrogno, claimed that at one point security personnel saw grays inside the containment facility and all that. And, you know, I'm not really quite sure what to make of that. Now that we know about some of his confabulations, it'd be tough to take that particular account at face value. But living right there during that time period, I can assure everyone that there was something flying around, if not multiple things flying around there. And there's a possibility that it could have been some sort of stealth, very human technology, stealth-style technology, because very few of these reports reported any sort of non-ballistic motion or impossible speeds or that sort of thing, if memory serves me correct.
Of course, I suppose one of the things we can consider here is whether the military was staging some sort of experimentation in their various activities in that particular area.
Well, yeah, there's some rationale behind that. I mean, I could see tweaking security procedures and eliciting some sort of response from security personnel around plants like that. They could have been gauging the reaction of local officials and that sort of thing. I think that sort of activity goes on a lot. You know, based on my work in the San Luis Valley, I have a sense that if the government is involved in clandestinely flying, let's say, exotic technology or black project craft around particular areas, maybe it's done to gauge the response on the population, on the security, law enforcement personnel, and that sort of thing.
And, of course, to use that famous term, this gives them a level of plausible deniability. After all, there are no such things as UFOs. Never happen. Nothing is going on. Nothing to worry about. Therefore, you might as well ignore it.
Yeah.
So let's get on to our special guest this week. Now, as we've mentioned, we've got some positively brilliant people who hang out in the forums at forum.theparacast.com. Positively brilliant, and perhaps one of the most intelligent and prolific posters is a fellow who calls himself Burnt State. Don't know which state, you know, New York, Illinois. Don't know which state, or state of confusion. No, I don't think so. Of course, you wonder what other names this guy could have picked.
Yeah, Burnt Toast maybe, but I don't know, Burnt State.
I suppose we'll find out the whys and wherefores as to how he picked that name. But once again, he is extremely knowledgeable about all things paranormal and you're really going to want to hear from him. So coming up, without further ado, we're going to present Burnt State, making his first appearance on the show. You're on with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929. This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joel Wallet, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today, 866-257-3105.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Don't forget to visit plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. There you'll learn about our special premium service where you get an ad-free version of the Paracast and the After the Paracast podcast, plus.theparacast.com. We've got a gentleman here who deserves a lot of praise because he's one of our most prolific posters at our forums at forum.theparacast.com. He engages in all sorts of paranormal discussions, and now he's joining us. His name is Burnt State, and that's the name he'll go by, except that we will occasionally talk to him with his real name, which is Robert. Burnt State, we're so glad to have you on the show.
Yes, sir.
The first and most obvious question I can ask is, why do you call yourself Burnt State?
Well, I think on one hand, it celebrates a bit of my own anti-government stance, I guess I would say, in terms of, you know, raising things to the ground. But really, it's not about that kind of anarchist perspective. It's actually, and this is, you know, kind of gives things away, it's a bit of a translation of my original name in German. And I found out through actually a forum member online who questioned me about my handle. And I had to research it. And when I researched it, I found out that I come from a long line of arsonists, but very specific arsonists. What we did was, following the plague, we would go to parts of infested cities and we would burn everything to the ground so we could actually start all over again. So in that way, I kind of like that handle as something that's tied to that idea of creation and destruction and those kind of endless cycles of that.
Burning off the dross.
That's right.
In the alchemical fashion. But, you know, the only time I've ever heard the term burnt state was after when I was in high school, back in my psychotropic days, after a particularly eventful weekend, we'd all kind of wander around bumping into walls the following Monday in a burnt state.
Yes, indeed. I know that.
Crispy.
So based on that, can we assume that you have from time to time decided to partake of certain substances that we will not name specifically?
I have on occasion. I try to leave that part of my life behind now. I have other responsibilities.
And we assume those responsibilities are?
That's a wife and kids and a dog, and they all need me. They all need me. They need me perfectly to cook for them is the most important part. So tonight they're flying solo.
Yeah. They need you well done. or done enough, but not burned.
That's correct. My wife tells me that right now, where I stand, the insurance money is not enough. I'm actually worth more alive than dead, but I think I've got limited time on that offer.
Now, obviously, you don't spend your time writing forum posts on the Paracast forums, although you spend a lot of time doing it. So what do you actually do in civilian life?
Yeah, it's a totally different scene altogether. I am a teacher of children, and I consume my time really trying to think of ways that I can engage youth to express themselves, put their voice out there, be more independent in an age of digital copycatting and yik-yakking. I would really like to see kids be able to express themselves in a way that's unencumbered from the mediated reality that they live in. So that's my primary goal as an educator.
So what grades do you actually teach?
I'm all over the map in high school, but primarily I do upper band classes. I used to be a contact teacher, and then I was an English teacher, and now I'm a leadership teacher, and I kind of try to merge all of those different fields together to get kids to create product and engage their community and engage ideas that matter to them and try to help them out with some of the social ills that they face in this increasingly stressful era that they live in.
No, you're quite a writer, so the English part really comes across on the forum. Some of your posts are just absolutely dazzling, and I'm not blowing smoke at you here. I really have learned a lot by reading your posts, and you have a way, for people who aren't familiar with the Paracast forum, Robert has a way of drilling down on subjects and opening up doors that I normally wouldn't go through and give me things to really sink my teeth into and think about that I normally wouldn't have unless I'd read your post. And that's one of the reasons why we got you on the show, because of your amazing insight. You really do have an analytical sense about you that allows the subject in question to really blossom. And I think a lot of people really appreciate that, as it shows your likes way outnumber your posts, which is, I think, a good way to gauge a person's impact on a forum, is to look how many likes they've received versus how many posts. And you've got several hundred more than likes than you do posts, which is a good sign in my book.
Now, Chris and I and everybody else who's interested in the paranormal have all gone through this. At some point in your life as a wee lad, what got you interested in looking after the paranormal rather than playing baseball, football, watching cartoons on TV, whatever?
No, I think it happens pretty early on in a young boy's life when you're strolling through the library and you're done with the Hardy Boys collection and your mind turns to Bradbury and Serling and Asimov. And before you know it, you're away to the races and reading about the paranormal. And I scouted through all the libraries in my town to cover every single Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, UFO, possession, you know, text that I could find. My brain was pretty turned on to altered realities early on, and that kind of culminated early on in my childhood with a pretty interesting UFO sequence that unfolded, and I think those things really consolidated, you know, early on. That's when it happens.
Now, I wasn't so lucky in my life about having a UFO sighting. Chris did, but can you tell us about your sighting? Give us the details.
It's a pretty interesting one, and it's me on an ice rink in my neighborhood. We're in the center of the block in a very, very large field. I would say maybe 100, 200 square meters. There was a rink that was made at night. We were out there skating, myself, my buddy, and his babysitter's daughter. Yeah, she was an older gal in her, I think, early teens, and we would have been maybe 10 or 11. The three of us were on the rink playing two-on-one shinny up against each other, and when it was two-on-one against my friend, he ran off inside, and it was just the babysitter's daughter and I looked at her. She had stepped on the puck and couldn't hit it anymore. I looked at her. Her neck was craned up to the sky. It was a crystal clear night, beautiful stars out, and there up in the sky approaching us were two classical flying saucers. They seemed to be slightly illuminated. They looked metal. They had a ring of lights around them. One seemed to be paused a little further in the field up in the air, and the other one was descending towards us. And when I saw that, immediately in my brain, something clicked off and said, uh-oh, here it is. I know what's going to be happening. We're going to get abducted. And that didn't happen. And I watched this ship come closer to us, and then it seemed to descend towards the power lines that ran along the back of the houses that bordered the ice rink. And then that ship slowly eased its way through the backyards, and it paused above another friend's house by a tree and above their garage roof. And it hovered there for a bit, and then it went up and joined the other one. The two of them went further down a couple of blocks and seemed to hover up over my favorite corner store. They stayed there. The whole experience was maybe about 2 or 3 minutes. And then the two of them just blasted off into space and looked like stars as they were leaving and just disappeared into the night sky.
This is just the beginning. We've got a lot more to come with our guest, Burnt State, joining Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to Mr. UFO at webtv.net. That's Mr. UFO at webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Did you know by age 50, half of all men have an enlarged prostate? This means more urges to urinate, longer bathroom trips, waking at night to urinate, or issues with sex. If this sounds familiar, call us now, because we're shipping free bottles of Super Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Super Beta Prostate is a non-prescription formula guaranteed to reduce the symptoms of your enlarged prostate. It's yours free. Pay only shipping and handling. Just call 1-800-205-8110. In clinical trials, the ingredient in Superbeta Prostate was shown to reduce urges to urinate, improve bladder emptying, reduce waking at night to urinate, and improve quality of life. This Superbeta Prostate free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Don't wait. Just call 1-800-205-8110. That's 1-800-205-8110. Call 1-800-205-8110.
We all have our own idea about what being safe and secure means. The door's locked, bills are paid, you've got a job that keeps the lights on, and a home to call your own. But what happens when Mother Nature throws a curveball?
I am telling you, there's no cover.
Are you prepared to live without electricity or passable roads for weeks at a time? Do you even have a plan B? If you do, are you willing to bet your life on it?
Children left with no homes.
And no one's coming to help them.
The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48 states. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today, or visit us at MyPatriotSupply.com. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare.
Hey, guess what? They've got some great deals for Valentine's Day at Guns80.com. They're calling it the Sweetheart Special. Guns80.com has lowered the price way down to $400 up until Valentine's Day. Order your Ghost AR-15 now. Tell your sweetheart that this is the right gift at the right time. Buy one for yourself. Buy one for your sweetheart, too. Your sweetheart will thank you for being so tuned in to his or her needs. Get a brand new Ghost AR-15 right now for $400. Heck, buy two. His and hers. Go to Guns80.com or call and ask for the sweetheart deal. Love is in the air at Guns80.com. Call now, 844-2-GUNS-80. That's 844-248-6780. It's a sweetheart of a deal. Actually, it's a steal at $400. So call Guns80.com at 844-2-GUNS-80. But hurry, supplies are limited. Call 844-2-GUNS-80 or get your Ghost AR-15 today at Guns80.com on the web.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
This week on the Paracast, we're featuring one of our most prolific forum posters, none other than Burnt State. And he's telling us about his first sighting of a UFO. Did this, Robert, pretty much cement your ongoing interest in the paranormal?
It really did, but I think what cemented it even more was what happened the following spring, because the following spring we were in the backyard where that UFO had hovered over my other friend's house, and we were going into his house. It was actually his aunt's house there, and she didn't trust him with keys into the house. I think we were only in grade 4 or grade 5 at the time, and so we climbed a ladder to get into the second floor of his house, and when we climbed that ladder, we looked out across, he stopped. And he says, holy, look at that. And he was looking over to the garage where that UFO had hovered. And there I was looking over it. And it all, you know, kind of flooded back in some ways, where there the top part of the tree that was near there was burnt in a radial arc on the portion of the garage. All the shingles had been burnt and upturned. And I remember my friend saying, my uncle is going to be so pissed. He had just reshingled that roof. And look at that. What happened? Now, when we had told the UFO story to our friends when that happened that previous winter, everybody laughed, mocked us. My parents dismissed us. It was kind of a done deal. But it all came flooding back inside of that moment and really consolidated that something, in fact, really was there. And I think that trace evidence piece, that's the part that really locked into my brain and kind of logged me on that. That summer, my friend and I got out walkie-talkies, and we went UFO hunting through the entire city.
Now, this particular episode, by any chance, did it happen to make the newspapers?
I scoured through newspapers all through the next week in shock that how could there not be anything there printed about this obvious, amazing, incredible event, and was entirely dismayed that there was absolutely nothing there at all. And of course, we were young kids. You know, we didn't talk to adults other than our parents. So there really wasn't anybody to confirm or talk to or call the police that, you know, we were grade four, grade five kids there. My mother and father kind of dismissed the event altogether, though my mother remembered very well my retelling of it, because she reminded me of it about 15 years later, which was another very interesting event connected to that incident, because when we were talking about UFOs casually at dinner table over a Christmas meal, and my mother piped up and says, well, Robert, you had a UFO experience. And I'll be honest, up to that point in time, that entire incident, I guess, for some reason, had been just switched off, or my brain had decided not to accept it anymore and not dwell on it. And as soon as she said that, the entire incident from start to finish all came back to me again, and with great immediacy, which was quite startling, actually.
So was that an indication, after all, that your parents may have really taken all this quite seriously?
No, I thought she had dismissed it entirely, because I remember I came running in the house at the same time my father had, and he had been at the corner store, and I was berating him, you know, how could you not see these ships? They were floating right above you. So, yeah, it was kind of, it had been dismissed. It got dismissed by my peers, and I think dismissed in general, and I think my own brain just dismissed it, really, for a good period of time. And I find it interesting every so many decades that something happens that brings that case back. In university, I was reading Passport to Magonia, and for whatever reason, in my early 40s, it was me thinking about that incident, which led me to the Paracast and other kind of paranormal shows, and has kind of launched this most recent spate of investigation and curiosity for myself in the field.
So certainly you were engaging in a pretty wide search about UFOs, but did you bring that out in public, maybe into the classroom, that you had any abiding interest in the subject?
It really was a search. Again, for whatever reason, I was talking about the UFO experience on rare occasions. I would mention it in one of my classes, just as a fun way to kind of close the course off, and I would tell the story, and kids would be enthralled and amazed. And I guess I had started thinking about it a little bit more and wanting to delve into it. And it was the age of the podcast. Somebody had given me an iPhone, and I started trolling around looking to see what I could find. And I thankfully stumbled into your show when you and Biedny were on a roll right in the early periods of it. And very shortly after that, I became a lurker on the forum and started reading some of the amazing material that was being posted by people. And I think that was the main catalyst that has brought me here to maybe this moment and talking to the two of you, because my interest has been reactivated in a way I wouldn't say it's unhealthy, but wow, it consumes a lot of my time, unpaid time.
So as a family man, how does your family react to your preoccupation with these subjects?
You know, my daughter mocks me a little bit on it. My wife is slightly annoyed, because there is other work I'm supposed to be doing that could be bringing money into the household that I keep delaying. And so that's not a popular piece there. So I don't talk a lot about it. And I'll be honest, the way I raised both my children was not to believe in unreal things such as Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or any of that stuff. And my daughter killed the Easter Bunny when she was 3 years old. I tried to explain to her the reason why her Christmas chocolate went missing was that the Easter Bunny would take it, recycle it, you know, and then give it back come Easter. And she turned on me at the age of 3 and said, "Dad, you know and I know there's no such thing as the Easter Bunny here on this earth." And she said it with such incredible conviction. I was like, wow, I've really raised a rationalist here.
Oh, that's funny.
She is now the ripe age of 13, has discovered makeup, is managing a very interesting and creative life herself online, counting her creative Tumblr followers. She does a lot of Photoshop and artwork herself as a creative character, and has a pretty good mind on her.
How old is your son?
My son is 11 and is eager and sweet and still a huggable teddy bear who loves having me coaching soccer.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
I really am. You know, when we have the sex talk, he always says to me, "Dad, I really don't need to know about that sort of stuff right now." I'm like, "All right, God bless you, son. Let's keep that going for a while."
But what about the dog?
The dog is a border collie husky that we picked up at the pound because nobody in the family was allergic to it. Both my wife and my son are very allergic to animals. And this husky's double coat doesn't produce allergens, and I had them both rub their face into it. And he has become such an amazing addition into our environment. It's incredible how much emotion an animal can bring into your environment. So he's a real centerpiece for this family.
of course, in the Steinberg household, we have the one and only Teddy Bear. And we got him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard all about him.
Before we get too far away from that initial very kind of paradigm-shifting experience that you had when you were a kid, the following spring, what prompted you? One of our questions here from a new sign-up at forum.theparacast.com named Sand, who actually signed up Christmas Eve, wonders what was your compulsion to climb up that ladder and look there for actual physical trace evidence? And my follow-up question would be, did you and your friend mention this to his father and make a point of pointing out that the tree had been impacted and that it appeared a patterning of heat had impacted the brand-new shingles?
You know, I think there's something interesting about youth and the adult world. Just to take up the last question first, is that we live in two different spaces. Youth live in a very creative, imaginative, irrational environment. Their brain chemistry is very irrational. And so the idea of the possibilities and potentials of strange things, I think, go hand in hand. Where you become an adult, things start to get a little bit more mundane, rational, and so those conversations don't happen. It was his aunt and uncle's place. His dad was non-existent. His mom was mostly unconscious and usually drunk or sleeping it off on the couch. He was a loner. And as a loner, he was able to, you know, go in and out of his aunt's house. And that time he went in because he didn't have the keys. And so we climbed the ladder. And he liked the idea of breaking into that house. And so we would do that on very rare occasions. And I was really captivated by that poster's question, because I think there is something interesting that's going on, obviously, with the UFO experience that is connected to us, that wants us to pay attention there. And I had asked him to qualify that a little bit more, because I almost feel like in some ways that the UFO piece is almost like a bait, you know, that you're being lured into something. And by climbing up that ladder, we did it by chance. But if we hadn't, we really wouldn't have taken notice, I think, of the shingles or of the tree. It's like little kids, you couldn't see up to the top of that roof. The only way we could have had that advantage is climbing up the ladder. And so is that just chance, or is that, you know, something else bringing us there? That's where things start to get a little nebulous and strange, I guess, with this discussion.
More to come with Burnt State, Gene, and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610.
Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
This is Holly Thomas, Group Vice President of Cause Marketing for Macy's. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. That's why Macy's is committed to raising funds through our employees, customers, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
It's no secret that government and big business buy in bulk and get huge discounts not available to the little guy. Until now. Introducing a breakthrough crowd buying website where people can join together, buy in bulk, and get massive discounts on millions of popular products. It's TogetherSave.com. TogetherSave.com. You can save 20, 30, or even 50% off tablets, smartphones, cars, appliances, textbooks, sports equipment, video games, and much more. All with free delivery. Check it out. TogetherSave.com. Visit now and start group buying today at TogetherSave.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
On the Paracast this week, we're featuring Burnt State Robert, a very welcome presence on our forums at forum.theparacast.com, where he hangs out. But other than our forums, do you go about anywhere expressing your interest in these subjects?
No, I keep that pretty on the down low. I'll be honest, I'm actually a pretty skeptical individual when it comes to these pieces. Most of these last 6 years investigating paranormal pieces have been trying to make sense of the things that happened to me at various points in my life and try to understand, are there in fact real mundane physiological, pharmacological explanations for these pieces? And I feel like some of these pieces I've had answers to. So I come across in the classroom as pretty skeptical. And I ran an interesting poll last year with a bunch of students at the end of the semester two session. They're heading into summer. And I asked them, you know, which of these paranormal pieces do you take stock in? And I listed a collection from UFOs to ghosts to psychics, Bigfoot, you know, monsters, psychic pieces, all of it. And I was quite surprised. You know, UFOs were way down at the list. They thought that was not really that possible. Bigfoot possibly, but they were all there for the psychic. And you know, and you can see how the impact of the media age really does correspond to kids then believing in the things that are popular and presented. And of course, you know, the Long Island psychic and different kind of popular psychics that you see on TV has had a huge impact. And some kids really got into, you know, intense debate with me just how real they thought those things were until I kind of pointed out, you know, some of the strategies and techniques perhaps that can be used to trick people into revealing information and then convincing them that in fact, oh no, your mind just been read.
Ah, yes, the reading of the minds.
Shades of the amazing Kreskin.
Something like that. It's just not as incredible as Kreskin could do it, but I think he had some pretty good aids.
Well, how about other experiences, you know, subsequent to that original experience? Have you ever had any potential haunted site experiences or other types of, you know, unusual phenomena that you may have been witness to or privy to?
I would say that perhaps there's maybe two or three other interesting things. Like as a young child, I had some pretty intense nightmares that included, you know, walking hallucinations, things that I would call even, you know, waking nightmares, where I was having, it felt like experiences happening to me while I was, you know, awake in the grocery store with my mother, and yet monsters were there and presence. I remember seeing, Chinese dragon in total neon flames dancing at the end of my father's bed, and I was pointing and staring at it, and of course he was seeing nothing, and I was freaking out altogether, and I think those were perhaps fever-induced or something else was happening, but later on when I was in high school, I decided for some reason to take up the Ouija board. I really wanted to get into the paranormal piece, hadn't encountered ghosts or anything like that, but I thought, this is an avenue. And that produced some very interesting results, actually. And I had to reflect on that really long and hard later on to try to understand what was happening with that experience. There was a group of us that would get together, and Ouija and our contact spirit, very kind of familiar and typical. Our contact spirit was a seven-year-old girl named Heather. She claimed that her father had burnt the house down with all the occupants in it, and could we please somehow help her to be released. And there was a group of us that Ouija pretty regularly. I kept detailed notes about all of the contacts, what happened, what took place, the differing experiences in it. It culminated in a very dramatic moment, of course, one final night where we were in my basement and we Ouija'd Heather, and Heather suddenly turned very aggressive and vile and claimed that it was, in fact, not Heather all along. It was the father, and he was going to come to kill all of us one by one, and spelled out all of our names, in which order the deaths would take place. And at that final moment, the Ouija planchette kind of flew off the board, and then a door slammed upstairs, and everybody freaked right out. And we went upstairs, and I checked with a hockey stick and all my friends in tow, and we checked every single room in case there was a burglar, and all the doors were closed. No windows were open. There was no draft. Couldn't really figure that out. But that wasn't really the kicker. The kicker was in the middle of our Ouija sessions. I remember going to pick up my girlfriend from the corner store she worked at to do one of our Ouija events after school the one summer. And as I was walking to pick her up, something glinted on the sidewalk that caught my eye, and it was a little gold charm. And I picked up the charm, and the charm was like a little foot, a little gold foot like a mother would wear on her bracelet. And engraved, of course, on that foot was the name Heather. And that, you know, when I look back on that, I think a lot about the Conjuring Philip, you know, episode, and how people can kind of bring things together somehow into reality. And I really do believe that the Ouija board is primarily a co-creation amongst peoples, that peoples are unconsciously doing this together, and they're not aware that they're tipping the table. They're not aware that they're spelling things out. But that foot was came from somewhere else. That was a really oddity, a big oddity. And then another interesting moment was when my father challenged the Ouija and said, you know, I don't believe this Ouija stuff. It's all junk. You tell me, what's your grandmother's birth date? And so knowing that I had no clue about birth dates at all, and I still don't. And I asked the Ouija board, and it spelled out a birth date. And he says, see, there you go, wrong. To which my mother piped up and said, wait a second. That's my mother's birth date. That is his grandmother's birth date. When I continued Ouija-ing there in front of my dad asked, okay, well, tell me, who's there? Who is this? And it spelled out the name of a coworker. It was a coworker my father had just introduced me to the previous week. He hadn't told me anything about this coworker. He had just started a new life, had all these beautiful aquariums downstairs, had a new wife and kids. But for whatever reason, just the day before I'm Ouija-ing and the Ouija board is telling me it's my dad's friend, my father tells me he just hanged himself yesterday. And so that was another.
Whoa. Kind of,
so those two pieces, you know, this idea of kind of knowledge or things coming out of the ether and somehow arriving into our world as concrete, you know, pieces is, I guess it's Jungian on some levels. It certainly points to the fact that perhaps there's something else going on that I can't explain with, you know, rational thoughts. So while I do believe a lot of the stuff that happens on the Ouija are things that happen collectively, I can't really explain those two pieces at all there.
Shades of Carl Jung, boy, I'll tell you, that's a collective unconscious manifesting on some level.
Very much so, isn't it?
So what other things have you done in your long and checkered life?
No, there was one other classic one was I was big on scaring people. I always enjoyed scaring people. And one of my favorite things to do was to go to a graveyard, an old graveyard in the middle of the woods by a university and these soccer fields. And I brought the Ouija board out and a couple of my friends. And we proceeded to Ouija on top of some of these very old graves. One was a World War I pilot's grave that had fallen over. They had put into concrete to memorialize it. And we were Ouijing on his grave. And he came on that board and told us to get the heck away from his spot and leave him alone. Now, we continued to Ouija while we were there. And as we were doing that, all of a sudden, standing behind us is a fireman. this fireman is standing there looking at us going, you kids need to get out of here. And I can see over his shoulder, there's a full-on blaze going in the forest just about 50 meters behind him. He says, somebody set a fire in the woods. We know it's not you kids because people in the house saw who it was and where they went, but you need to leave here and get going. Now, I was really taken by that because we were unaware of any of the sound, the flames, the smoke. Yet when he stepped there, it's like we had suddenly come back to, you know, that real world place and that we had been transported somewhere. And I think that's a real common experience. And I think that experience is something that is also a co-creation in some ways that people can get together and experience some very strange things together that perhaps can transport them to other places, have very shared surreal experiences. I'm not too sure what that's all about. But it definitely happened to us that time. And that was kind of the end of the Ouija piece for me. Like after that night when we got threatened, nobody else wanted to play anymore with me. And I pretty much gave it up, even though I had designed and painted my own Ouija board. It was quite elaborate, made a large circular one that didn't really work too well with the planchette because of the excess of heavy paint I put on it. But that kind of ended, that Ouija piece. And it's not something, you know, my kids joke around and they play with the Ouija board every now and then. But I'll be honest, I don't encourage it at all. I think some of these investigations can actually destabilize you.
Kind of makes me think of the reflective nature of the UFO phenomenon and other paranormal events.
Well, I think we've heard on the Paracast many times this idea that if you stare too deeply into something, it can start staring back at you. I know it's a famous quote, and I worry about that when I read some of the instances and cases, especially when you look at case studies around abduction pieces, and you can see how people have perhaps bypassed some of their normal critical thinking skills. I'll give an example. I had a phone call one day that came from a former student's father wanted to talk to me. And I was, okay, so what's this about? How can I help you, sir? And he said, oh, you taught my daughter creative writing. She really had a great time in your class. But she told me that you had mentioned something about UFOs and that you had told the story. Now, he proceeded to tell me that he was a science teacher, a biology teacher, had been teaching for a very long time, and that he had been spending a lot of time on, I think it was a Aurelian site, or maybe it was the Zeta Reticula site, and he wanted me to go look at it because he felt he had tested it all scientifically, and it all made total and absolute sense to him, and that I should really pay attention to some of that stuff, and that he wanted to get together. Now, I'll be honest, I never called him again. I took a look at what was on that site and saw that was complete junk and bunk that was there, and I'm very concerned that a lot of people actually spend time participating in things that, in fact, are very unreal, and I think on some levels perhaps are even unhealthy.
We've got a lot more to come with Burn State, with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturing
manufacturers. If you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.